Hello, everybody. Happy Friday, and thank you for joining us for the Texas Scorecard Friday Roundup, live from 1836 Studios. I'm Brandon Waltons, managing editor of Texas Scorecard. Got Michael Quinn Sullivan here, publisher. We're going to talk about the speaker's race in Texas. The election's just a few days away, and already you've got the race for the Speaker of the Texas House heating up. We're going to talk about that, but first, a special interview here. A new undercover video from Project Veritas down in San Antonio shows a massive ballot harvesting operation. I sat down yesterday afternoon with James O'Keefe, the CEO of Project Veritas, to talk about it. Check it out.
We have Raquel on tape coercing voters to vote the right way, as well as bribing these voters with gifts.
Now, you know, on here, you chose a Republican, not a Democrat, right?
Can I do this?
You can vote for whoever you want, but our conversation that we had, you said you were voting for a hater because you were going straight Democrat. So that way you're voting for the straight Dem. Is that what you want to do, correct?
Can I do it like that?
All right, right now we're being joined by James O'Keefe, the CEO of Project Veritas, which of course describes itself as the leading practitioner of investigative and undercover journalism. Has more than 30 undercover journalists and insiders working across the country. And this week, you may have seen we had the story up on Texas Scorecard. New undercover tape from the organization appears to show ballot harvesting, a big ballot harvesting operation in San Antonio. James, thank you so much for joining us. And wow, this video, I mean, it's really spread around social media. I've seen it on Twitter, seen a lot of folks talking about it. And it's really unbelievable to actually watch.
Well, thank you. It's a pretty incontrovertible piece of evidence about someone coercing an older person to vote a certain way, giving them gifts. It's a pretty criminal acts caught on tape, and we hope that the Attorney General will be taking action on this there in Texas.
Yeah, and that's what's amazing. I mean, you look at some of these quotes. It's Raquel Rodriguez is the woman or one of the women shown on this video. Offering gifts for completing ballots, going door to door, and even admitting, this is, I think, the interesting part, that what she's doing is illegal. Looking at one of the quotes, she says, "What I do, picking up those ballots when he was with me, that's illegal. I could go to jail. I'm a little apprehensive to tell anybody," as she probably should be. Your question is, you look at her background, I think this is the part that confused a lot of folks. She supposedly presents herself as a consultant or a volunteer for Republicans.
Yeah, I mean, she's a mercenary, I suppose, but she worked for a variety of candidates, including Mara Garza, who is a Republican congressional candidate in San Antonio, seems to be switching votes for Biden. She says she can get 55,000 votes for $5,000. The tape sort of speaks for itself in what she says. I mean, she says she wouldn't look good in stripes. She means in jail. And she tells our undercover reporter not to tell anybody what she's doing. She also talks about how these various judges have paid her. Mara Garza paid her $2,500. I spoke with Mara Garza. I confronted him. That video has been released yesterday and this morning, where I called him and talked to him about, is this true? And he kind of gave me a non-denial. Another judge returned money. A circuit judge returned the check, printed the check of what she paid him. So this is an individual who has done thousands of illegal ballots, and they say voter fraud doesn't exist. It's not possible. It doesn't happen. This may be the first video of its kind, along with our Minnesota investigation, that shows indeed it does happen. And indeed, what she's saying is that she breaks the law all the time. So it's an open secret there in San Antonio. Just no one has the will or the resources or the ability to publish the story except Project Veritas.
She actually said once this video came out earlier this week, she put out a statement which said, essentially, she sort of tried to flip the table, said, "Well, actually, I was investigating them." Do you think that statement holds any water?
I mean, people say a lot of things when they're caught. I mean, we had the guy in Minnesota say that we bribed him to do this. I mean, it's like the analogy I use is, let's say you get a bank robber on tape taking money out of the safe. And the surveillance footage shows them doing that. And you interview the bank robber and they just make up any story imaginable. It's journalistic malpractice for outlets to run with the comment made by the criminal caught on tape, which is exactly what journalists are doing. And Fox 9 local Minnesota ran with that story from Minneapolis, where the ballot harvester had all the ballots. And he said, "Well, James O'Keefe bribed me to do this," which is absurd. It's an absurd insinuation. In this case, the woman, you know, is on the tape coercing an elderly woman with a gift in order to change her vote. We did not tell her to do that. We were not. The notion that she's investigating us investigating her is crazy. But what would you expect from someone who is a criminal and who breaks the law all the time? They're going to say whatever they need to say to get themselves out of a tough spot.
You mentioned this earlier. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, after this video was released, says his office is investigating the video, says they were concerned about it. Has the Attorney General's office been in contact with y'all?
Yes. Yes. Okay. We've been working with them. We've been giving them the raw tapes and materials, and we're currently in touch with them right now and are working through our general counsel to give them any material they need to launch an arrest.
If this happened in Texas, and you mentioned your investigations as well in Minneapolis, how widespread do y'all think this is?
Well, you don't have to be a mathematician to deduce that if we're able to get this in Minneapolis and in Texas, and we run a relatively small sized organization, how many other places? And the problem we have in our country is that both our media and our Federal Bureau of Investigation is actively interested in news suppression about this topic. So, for example, you have a organization, which I never even heard of this before, but it showed up today. This is in Austin, Texas, something called the Reform Austin right-wing group discredited voter fraud accusations. So I'm going to read from this. Ken Paxton is once again using baseless allegations to support his ill-conceived election integrity unit to sow distrust, said Julian Castro, Texas Right to Vote co-chair. This is a politically motivated attack in coordination with a right-wing group. But again, it's not a Democratic group that we're exposing. It is a bipartisan effort in San Antonio. So you have these entrenched interests, New York Times, USA Today, you know, Media Matters, CNN, that are just interested in just ad hominem nonsense against me, that I'm some type of right-wing discredited disinformation campaign, when you can actually see on the tape the people actually committing the felonies. So we've entered this sort of brave new world where reality doesn't matter anymore. Someone could literally be in a car with hundreds of ballots saying, I'm breaking the law, watch me do it. And the people that we're supposed to trust, that we're told to trust, tell us that that's not real. So I think that's actually going to backfire against these entrenched organizations. And I think that people are going to stop watching CNN, stop believing the New York Times, and they're going to start to come to Project Veritas because they're going to believe their own lying eyes. That's what it comes down to. That we do have laws in this country against defamation. You can't just say that I'm fake and I'm a fraudster. I will sue you and I will win. And tomorrow we're going to sue the New York Times for defamation and we'll probably win on summary judgment.
Oh, wow. Wow. So if people want to follow the product here, the process here, where can they go to follow everything Project Veritas is doing?
ProjectVeritas.com. And behind my head, you can see our portal if you want to wear a camera or go undercover.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today, James.
Thanks.
As you mentioned, if you want to see more of that investigation, more of the details, you can read our article at texasscorecard.com or visit projectveritas.com. Now switching gears a little bit, a lot of news broke out specifically yesterday in the race for the Texas House Speaker. As I mentioned, the elections are several days away, but there's a separate kind of race brewing, one that you or I won't be able to vote in, but one that our lawmakers will be able to vote in when they're sworn in January in the Texas House, and that's for Speaker of the House. Michael, you've got a piece up pretty much right away, very timely, when stuff started to heat up yesterday, about this quiet speaker race that's now kind of moving out into the forefront.
Yeah, so, you know, we had we'd been really interested watching for the past couple months, you know, the current Speaker of the House will not be the Speaker in January 2021 because the current Speaker, Dennis Bonin, caught up lying to the public, lying to members about his ethical lapses, whole sordid detail story there, not overly important for this purpose today. But yet, you know, so there was going to be a speaker's race. Everyone's known it for more than a year. The speakership is going to be empty. And so it's been very interesting that everyone's been really quiet about it. No one actively running, which you would expect to see what we've seen in the past. And so we were kind of starting to think, oh, let's write about this quiet race that no one wants to talk about. Mm-hmm. And then literally, like you said, suddenly yesterday, kablam, comes all of this activity on the GOP side. Now, earlier, I guess it was last week, we started having Democrats file. Two Democrats had filed for Speaker of the House. But then yesterday, all the activity on the GOP side was important because, you know, look, I mean, everyone's got their, fanboy dreams that the Democrats are taking over the Texas House. That's not going to happen. I guess it could. It could happen. It's unlikely to happen. Most people expect the House to remain, even if just nominally, in Republican hands in the Texas legislature. So, the Republicans will be picking the speaker, theoretically.
Sure, and just, Democrats preparing more than they have in previous sessions, outside possibility, but I suppose a possibility nonetheless that they're able to take charge. And so this started up last week. You had Sinfronia Thompson, Democrat from Houston, officially the first to file for speaker. She's been in the House for quite a long time.
Almost 48 years now, I think.
Yeah, 72, people may remember her last session, pro-life advocates, for essentially killing the heartbeat bill, the bill that would have banned abortions when a heartbeat is detected. That legislation was sent to her committee by Speaker Dennis Bond at the time, and was killed. So somebody who's a pretty liberal legislator, I mean, even for as long as she's been there, but was indeed the first to file. She was followed up later in the week by Trey Martinez Fisher, a pretty outspoken Democrat from the San Antonio area, has been in the House since 2000, save for a two-year absence when he unsuccessfully ran for Senate. He also announced saying, if Democrats take control, I want to be considered there. And then yesterday you also had a Democrat, Oscar Longoria from the Valley, who's kind of considered, I think, by most to be the most moderate of those three Democrats, somebody that would maybe be a potential candidate if you had a 76-74 Democrat majority or something like that. We got those candidates profiled, but I want to talk more, though, about the Republican candidates. Right. We'll go through those in alphabetical order. The first is State Representative Trent Ashby from Lufkin. What do we know about Trent Ashby?
Well, so Trent Ashby, and you're conducting the interview, but I'll ask the question you should have asked, maybe. It's important that kind of two factions have seemed to have developed in the Texas House over the past couple of months. I honestly don't know what these folks call themselves, but Kyle Biederman, state representative from Fredericksburg, left the Freedom Caucus this week, and in it he mentioned he was leaving in part because of disagreements over how the Freedom Caucus should proceed on the speakership race, and he talked about the factions, and he described them as Team Bonin, the disgraced, ethically challenged, outgoing state rep and speaker, versus Team Texas.
Yeah.
So, gee, I wonder who the good guys are supposed to be in that.
Yeah.
Team Bonin ostensibly is made up of people who, if you squint right and look at them in the right kind of lighting, are slightly more conservative, possibly, than Team Texas, but they don't want any reforms. They don't really acknowledge there was a culture problem in the Texas House. They don't really acknowledge that, Dennis Bonin, he abused his power, but hey, we all like to do that. It's kind of, it seemed to be the tone. Team Texas might be, if you look at them, you're like, they're probably not the most conservative group, but they are the ones saying we need to reform the House, we need to take some of this power away from the Speaker. Here it is, the third most powerful constitutional office, in some ways the second most powerful constitutional office in Texas, all kind of outside the Constitution, done statutorily, throwing all this power, making the Speaker equivalent in size, in power to the governor and the lieutenant governor, which is not exactly what was intended in the state constitution. It's saying, hey, maybe we need to scale some of this back a little bit. So Trent Ashby is a Team Texas guy, and he does kind of live up to that. He is not a conservative. He will occasionally say the right things, but he's a pretty unapologetic, moderate. 40s on the fiscal responsibility index.
Led the charge to kill legislation that would have ended taxpayer-funded lobbying last session for Mays Middleton.
Right. He was the opponent for taxpayer. He was the front man opponent of banning taxpayer from lobbying, which is, you know, big priority, has been for a long time for grassroots activists, past several years for the Republican Party of Texas.
Another person who entered, and by the way, you have to remember the timeline of this yesterday. I think they were all within like the same hour, essentially. So I'm not even sure who really was first. So we're going alphabetically. John Cyrier has announced, another state representative from Bastrop, also a Team Texas guy.
I think he straddles between Team Texas and Team Bonin. I think when you talk to most folks involved, he's a little closer to Team Bonin than Team Texas. 2 years ago, he was kind of the ringleader in the secret meetings that led up to Bonin being kind of stepping out as the speaker. Cyrier is probably the most conservative.
If you look at the scores, a lot of them are kind of marginal.
He's kind of marginal. Remember, you know, the tallest midget, the least drunk person in the bar, the one-eyed king in the land of the blind, all that kind of stuff. So he's the most conservative. Younger guy, been in the legislature probably the least amount of time of any of these declared candidates. He had been a county commissioner previously in Bastrop County, and he was also against the taxpayer-funded lobbying activities.
Right. Another person who entered yesterday, State Representative Jeannie Morrison.
Texas House, been in since the 90s, kind of a fixture in the Texas House by this point, been a committee chair under a couple different speakers now. Process-wise, she knows the process, that kind of thing. Not a conservative, certainly not in the meaningful policy reform way that a lot of conservative activists talk about conservatives. I think she's probably considered Team Texas,
on the day of the week. Somebody who I think I've seen has a 60% pro-life score or something around that, which would be a big issue if her candidacy did kind of step forward. Lastly, of the declared candidates, and then we got one who hasn't declared yet. Well, it's 11:18, unless it's happened in the last 20 minutes, hasn't declared yet, very much expected to declare. But first, Chris Patti from East Texas. Has thrown his hat in the ring as well for this position.
Yeah, very definitely a Team Texas, not Team Bonin guy. Patti was targeted by Bonin, so there's certainly some political hostility there. Patti, an opponent of the ban on taxpayer-funded lobbying. Patti came out pretty quickly criticizing Bonin's ethical lapses, and as conservative Freedom Caucus member Steve Toth said in real time when all that happened, Chris Patti was stripped of his position on the fairly important, very influential Sunset Commission by Speaker Bonin. And Toth said, hey, look, that's retribution, pure and simple. That's all that is. There's no justification. Yep. I mean, again, Steve Toth and Chris Patti, about as far as you can get in terms of conservative liberal wings of the Republican caucus.
Sure.
And yet Steve Toth having the intellectual honesty to say that he is the that he was being punished for his criticism of Speaker Bonin.
Right. The last one I want to talk about, don't think is officially filed, but that is State Representative Dade Phelan.
Yeah.
Who has been talked about for a few weeks kind of behind the scenes, seems to be perhaps a candidate for this Team Bonin right now.
Yeah. So Phelan is widely recognized as Team Bonin's, he is their front runner. If you think of the folks on Team Bonin, there are a variety of other folks who could conceivably cobble together a coalition within Team Bonin. And it's pretty important to note that these teams, you've got a fairly even split of Republican members in Team Bonin and in Team Texas. Again, we're not endorsing, those aren't our names, we're not endorsing those names. That's just kind of
how they've been described.
And he appears to be the front runner in that Bonin faction. But he is probably the one who conservative activists should be the most concerned about. I mean, it's very interesting. He's been talked about for a couple of months now. We started hearing his name whispered a couple of months ago, but he hasn't filed the paperwork. So, just from a, we might all think some of the rules that the House has imposed upon itself for the speakership is weird, but, there are the rules. And if you want to be the speaker, maybe you should follow the rules. But a lot of times, powerful political people think the rules apply to everyone else but them. That may be kind of an indication. Again, Team Bonin is the we don't think anything needs to be fixed or reformed group in the Texas House. We're fine with corruption. We're fine with cronyism as long as it benefits our guys. And so the fact that that Mr. Phelan hasn't even bothered to file the appropriate paperwork while very much running a speaker campaign tells you something about him. He's one of three Republicans who was lauded by a very left-wing group as being a pro-LGBTQ advocate. You wrote an article about this earlier in the week. Just kind of reminding folks, hey, here's who this guy is.
Yeah, not a conservative. Not somebody that, I think if it was if it was up to a vote, right, of kind of Republican grassroots folks, I don't think that this would be the person they would pick.
I'm not sure that conservative grassroots. If you ask the convention delegates to the Republican Party of Texas, who do you want as Speaker of the House? None of these people would get the vote. None of these people would get the vote. Let's be real clear about what we're talking about.
Which is, probably a bigger topic, I guess, for another time. You do have, I think it's important to note as we kind of close out here, you do have some folks. You mentioned State Representative Kyle Biederman, who actually left the Texas House Freedom Caucus over this dispute. And that's where we kind of learned some of these Team Bonin and Team Texas stuff, saying essentially, I don't like this whole two-team situation. You had incoming State Representative Brian Slayton writing a piece at Texas Scorecard this week saying essentially the same thing. What are folks at home? I mean, because, again, we don't get to vote, right, for Speaker. But are these conversations that people can be having with their state representatives?
Well, I would suggest that is the best thing to see happen. In fact, Kyle Biederman tweeted this, I think, earlier today or put up on his Facebook page or something, how pleased he is to see the sudden flurry of activity on the speakership because, Mr. Biederman has been one of those saying, hey, this needs to be a public conversation. We need the people involved in this. The legislators for a long time have treated the speakership like it is their own little personal plaything, despite all this power it has. And for some reason, the citizens aren't supposed to ask questions or be involved in it. But at the end of the day, the speakership is just like a vote on taxes. It's a vote on life issues. It's a vote on Second Amendment issues. In fact, the speakership for all those things might be the single most important vote, because who you pick as speaker is going to determine is pro-life legislation sent to a committee helmed by pro-abortion Sophronia Thompson or a pro-life committee chairman? The speakership controls that. The speakership controls whether or not when there's debate on the House floor, will an amendment be allowed that, opens up Second Amendment rights to Texans? All those kind of things, that's all tied up in the speakership vote. So really, citizens should take advantage of the fact that we now have this, particularly this weekend, all these Republicans stepping out, announcing for Speaker, and take advantage as a citizen. Go up to your state rep who's on the ballot and probably has a Democrat opponent and say, hey, who are you supporting? And tell me why. Jeff Leach in Collin County, Matt Shaheen in Collin County, Tony Tinderholt in Tarrant. Just go down the list of all of these Republicans and ask them, hey, who are you supporting? And right now they want your vote. They're going to be much more likely to answer you today than they will be on Wednesday after the election.
Right. Richard Briscoe actually comments, says the big reform is to reduce the virtually dictatorial powers of the speaker. And
absolutely
indeed,
right,
it's become a huge, huge position. Well, thank you so much for explaining all that, Michael.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, Brandon.
And thank you to everybody watching. Got Carol watching from Navarro County, Charles in Houston, Joseph watching in Spring, Amanda in Garland, Steve tuning in from Grapevine. If you have any questions about anything with the speaker's race, it's fast moving. Please feel free to leave them in the comments. We'll get to them after the show. For right now, have a great weekend and remember to go vote.
Thank you for listening to this week's Friday Roundup from Texas Scorecard. If you like this show, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to get your podcasts.
Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review while you're there. Texas Scorecard offers a growing number of podcasts, so give those a listen and subscribe to them as well. And remember, you can catch the show live and join the conversation every Friday at 11 a.m. on the Texas Scorecard Facebook page.